Freddy has been brought back due to like evil dog piss. So there's any way to bring back any of these supernatural characters.
Radio Drone.
It is Thursday night. You have the right to remain silent forever. I am Josh Hadley. With me, as always, is Cecil T. Robot.
Dun dun dun.
Cordell doesn't say dun dun dun.
Huh? Well, I was going off of the, you know, you have the right to remain silent forever. Dun dun dun.
All right, fair enough. And then you could hear snickering like Lorraine Landon back there. Peter?
Snickering like a little girl and 6'2" and muscular.
Speaking of little girls who are 6'2" and muscular, do the Adam and Eve promo, bucko.
Well, yes, cream pies. There's my segue into it. By using the promo code DROME, you'll get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. That's 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. You get all that if you use the promo code DROME on adamandeve.com. I can't use it, so make a Canadian jealous today. Go to adamandeve.com and get your gift bag of debauchery.
Tonight we're going to be looking at an relatively obscure franchise, Maniac Cop. The Maniac Cop films, I enjoy all three. We'll get to why director William Lustig does not. All three are good films, but this is a franchise I think most people forget is a franchise. I've run into quite a few people that remember the Maniac Cop first one, and they're like, there were sequels? Yes, there were sequels, and I'll also get into why you may not remember those as sequels. Before we get into each film individually, what do you think of the Maniac Cop franchise as a whole?
It's great. I've always been a fan of the Maniac Cop franchise. I actually saw them slightly out of order. I went 2, 1, 3. But still, I mean, it's such a kick-ass franchise. I think a lot of times when I run into people, they confuse this with Psycho Cop. And
Psycho Cop was actually the ripoff of this, and let's just say William Lustig is not very happy at that franchise. He once made a quote that if he ever gets an actor who has auditions for one of his films that was in a Psycho Cop film, they're immediately disqualified. He really does not like the Psycho Cop films.
Psycho wow. Cop is so funny though. That's like one of my favorite like
the second
bad...
one is hilarious.
Oh god, yes. They're too funny.
Yeah, I mean the Psycho Cop movies are like hilarious, but they're not traditionally what I would think of, you know, calling them as good movies. Maniac Cop, they're good movies. They're not just exploitation, you know, horror fare. They're actually well-constructed, well-put-together movies. I had first shown my wife the first Maniac Cop maybe like 3-4 years ago, and she was shocked because she's like, you know, she's like, yes, it is a Maniac Cop, but I was expecting it to be a little more kind of a like a B movie and just kind of like silly and crappy. She's like, but it's a like really good movie. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what sets this apart, is that they're genuinely well constructed and just good movies, and they're not just like goofy B movies.
I agree with Cecil. I saw them in order. I saw the first one that I rented from a independent video store back when I was maybe 14 years old, a place called Videomatica, and which was a staple of where I got a lot of the movies that I love today. And I loved the first one. I thought it was awesome. Then I checked out the second one and the third one. Not that big of a fan of the third one, but overall, still, even if I find the third, found the third one to be a bit weaker than the first two, I think overall it is an impressive franchise. They're all well-made films, and they progressively, at least in terms of like technically, they get better. Like the character of Matt Cordell effectively does look scarier and scarier as the sequels progress. And I think that's something we'll talk about later on. But yeah, I love this series. I think the character of Matt Cordell is an underrated gem, and more people need to check out 2 and 3 if they've seen the first one and don't know that this is a franchise.
There's someone out there.
Hey!
No one knows his name. No one knows his face.
Oh, no.
But now, the most terrifying man in the city.
Officer! Officer! Oh, thank God it's you.
Carries a badge.
Head was unstable and there was a deceleration injury. Prison-year-old hanging.
You really think a cop did this?
Why not?
Do you automatically assume that it was a police officer instead of some lunatic dressed up like a cop?
Vice squad.
He'll kill again. He enjoys killing.
He strikes without cause, without mercy.
He may be getting information from inside the department.
That means he is one of us.
You see a cop, you cross to the other side of the street.
You're not gonna get me.
Everybody wants to shoot a cop nowadays has got one hell of an excuse.
This one is my personal life, any of your business.
Since your wife was found dead in a motel room.
You gotta be wrong.
You wanna see the pretty picture?
Ah! Keep your hands where I can see them. Hold on, I didn't do any of this.
When a cop turns killer, you have the right to remain silent forever. Maniac Cop.
I like how, at least in the first film, the Matt Cordell character is a shade of gray. You understand why he's doing what he's doing, but the fact that he's only killing innocent people to get the cops pissed off kind of makes it so you can't exactly side with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't paint him as disenfranchised rogue the character seems to think he is. Let's go back to the beginning, 1988, or actually the genesis of this franchise starts before that. Larry Cohen and William Lustig were getting together for lunch one day. Larry Cohen just dropped a random question. How come you never made a sequel to Maniac? Now remember, 1980s Maniac does have a sequel, but William Lustig not only had nothing to do with that, he despises it. So I don't know if this conversation predated the actual Maniac 2 or not, or just all of them don't want to have anything to do with that Maniac 2. He said, why don't you make a sequel to Maniac? And he got the idea of, what about a Maniac Cop? And then so Larry Cohen wrote the script. William Lustig directed it. Here's the weirdest thing about the first film. The first film feels so much like a New York movie. They only shot for 4 days in New York. The bulk of the film was shot in Los Angeles. Sam Raimi accidentally got the first film made. Sam Raimi, coming hot off the heels of Evil Dead 2 at that point, he and Bruce Campbell were helping shoot the St. Patrick's Day footage. And since Sam Raimi has a small role as a TV news announcer in that, people thought Sam Raimi was directing the movie. So they got their financing by William Lustig not telling people Sam Raimi is only an actor in this film. What do you think about the first film? Just the first film.
I love the first film. I love that there's a shade of gray with the character, and that in a way, like the whole thing with why Matt Cordell is killing people, he's this former hero cop that was murdered in prison because the system pretty much screwed him over. They had ties with the mob or whatever, so they got him sent to prison on false charges, and he gets murdered by all the people he put away, like viciously cut up with straight razors and shivs. And that's a pretty great scene. That's a reoccurring flashback in all the films, but it's especially effective in the first one because his mission is to go after the mayor or the senator. Was it the mayor or the senator? I can't remember. But
it was the mayor and the chief of police.
Yes, he goes after the mayor and just whoever wronged him in terms of the system. And it's cool that way because...
But how he goes about it is killing innocent people to turn the public against the cops.
Yeah.
That's not a hero's mission.
It's not at all. No, he's doing that to get people afraid of the boys in blue. Like there's a lot of scenes where like you're seeing news footage of people being interviewed about the police and how they're terrified of them. And there's that like old woman that gets pulled over and she just immediately shoots the cop because she just assumes it's going to be the maniac cop.
Do you know who that old woman is?
No.
That's Walter Koenig's wife. Just a little bit of trivia there. That was Walter Koenig's wife.
I didn't know that, but yeah, that doing that opens up ground for Matt Cordell to go after the mayor. And overall, it's a great film. There's a cool sense of almost like it's in a way a vigilante movie, but like a vigilante gone bad, like the character just going about it the completely wrong way. Instead of going after pushers and mobsters, he's going after innocent people. But at the same time, it's still effective because it gets people turned against the cops so he can go after the actual corrupt mayor in the film. Plus, it's got a great cast. I mean, you can't really miss with Bruce Campbell and Tom Atkins. Like, they're awesome in this movie.
You've got Robert Zadar as Matt Cordell. Yes. Richard Roundtree as the commissioner. Lorraine Landon, Bruce Campbell, Tom Atkins. You got the great William Smith. You've got Sherry North. You've got a really solid cast here. But
yeah.
One of the interesting things is the producers didn't want Bruce Campbell to be an adulterer. They wanted Bruce Campbell to be straight up the hero. They wanted the whole he's cheating on his wife with Lorraine Landon subplot deleted. I think that actually makes him a better hero because he's not this true blue cop. He was cheating on his wife, and then his wife gets killed by the maniac cop after she, on her way home from catching him cheating with another police officer.
Yeah, that which makes him the prime suspect. He's very flawed. And it's a great way to make him like they turn him into the prime suspect of the film that way. And he's cheating on his wife and there's some troubles with their marriage in general. They were seeing a counselor. So there was cause for him to be put away. Plus, it says in the movie that he fits the description of the killer. Like people are saying that he's a guy over 6 feet tall with a huge chin, which just happens to be what Bruce Campbell looks like, too.
And so I think that added a really nice shade, another shade of gray that a lot of people, because I think your average audience member, they want black and white. Matt Cordell's the good guy or the bad guy. Bruce Campbell's the good guy. That's what they wanted. Yet both characters are very much shades of gray, although Matt Cordell is much grayer than Bruce Campbell is.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first film. The one thing that kind of got me was, and I don't know, maybe it was just me. The first time I was watching it, I felt like even though Bruce Campbell was the good guy, there was a certain element there that made me feel like maybe he might not really be. Like he might be involved in something that they weren't really talking about. And then, of course, by the end, you find out that no, he wasn't.
Well, that was actually kind of intentional. They said they wanted his character, hence why they gave him the affair with Lorraine Landon. They wanted you, the audience, to not be sure whether he was the maniac cop or not. That's why they didn't show Matt Cordell's face till the end. You were supposed to think he might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of, I mean, since I saw them out of order, I knew that he wasn't, you know, Matt Cordell, but I still thought that maybe he was involved in some way. You know, they were going to pull a, you know, Matt Cordell's partner or something out. And, oh, my God, it was this guy, you know, and turned out that he really was a good cop. And, you know, and it was cool seeing, you know, such a young Bruce Campbell. I mean, back then when I first saw it, it was like, hey, you know, Evil Dead guy. And then,
he is shockingly young in this movie.
But yeah. He looks so young in this. He somehow looks like younger in this than he does in Evil Dead. I don't know how that's possible. You know,
his
but,
voice is like so much higher in it too. Like
yes.
Well, I think one of the things that they did was they surrounded him, and he's not a huge guy. Like we were saying, how young he is. You're being surrounded by William Smith, Robert Zadar, and Richard Roundtree. These guys are all a head taller than him. I think that made him seem smaller, you know?
And he's not a short guy. Like, Bruce Campbell, I think, is at least, like, 6'2 or something. So, yeah, he was surrounded by some giants.
But I loved it because the character of Matt Cordell was cool. I mean, it was used much more in 2 and 3 because, one, they were trying to keep it a little ambiguous and he would show up, usually, you know, murder somebody, whereas they did a lot more character development with him in 2, which is one of the things that I liked, but I'm not going to talk about 2 yet. Yeah, it's a kick-ass movie. I really enjoyed it.
Now, Maniac Cop did very well at the box office. It wasn't a blockbuster, but it made more than its budget, and this was released theatrically, and that'll be an issue later on. A few years later, they decided in 1990 to make Maniac Cop 2 based on the strength of Maniac Cop now having come out on videotape. And Bruce Campbell's growing popularity was not hurting things either.
Officer Cordell is dead. People are safe to walk the streets again. Or are they?
Must be visiting hours, because my friend is back!
The nightmare has returned.
Who's the great big cop? 6'3", maybe more.
Shooting Cordell's only good for getting his attention. Teresa Mallory's dead because she knew the truth.
What's the matter, Commissioner? You finally believe in ghosts?
He's still alive.
Maniac Cop 2. Robert Davi, License to Kill. Claudia Christian, The Hidden. Michael Lerner, The Postman Always Rings Twice. Bruce Campbell, The Evil Dead. And Leo Rossi, The Accused. Star in Maniac Cop 2.
They got the cast back, you know, they got Lorraine Landon back, they got Robert Zadar back, they got Bruce Campbell back. Larry Cohen, who also wrote this one, decided that their storyline pretty much is over, that it'll just be going backwards to go back and do another story with Jack Forrest and Teresa Mallory. That's why I was kind of shocked when Bruce Campbell gets killed 11 minutes into Maniac Cop 2.
Same here.
They sold this as a Bruce Campbell film.
Mm-hmm.
But it does also gives you it makes everything off kilter, because now anybody can die. And in fact, Lorraine Landon, I'll get more into this in the third film, Lorraine Landon was not supposed to die in this. Mm-hmm. Lorraine Landon was supposed to be put into a coma. The coma police officer in the third film was supposed to be Teresa, making her the only other character that's in all three movies. But for whatever reason, Larry Cohen decided, let's just kill her instead of comatizing her. They bring in new characters, played by Clarence Williams III, Leo Rossi, Claudia Christian, and Robert Davi. Claudia Christian is the only mistake William Lustig has with Maniac Cop 2. Mm. They did not get along at all. He said from day one she didn't do what she was told. She had her own ideas of the direction for the Susan Riley character. She was difficult on the set. And in her book, she has called Maniac Cop 2 one of the worst films she's ever worked on. And I think she meant working experience, not quality of the final film. So Claudia Christian was a huge mistake. And watching the film again, you can kind of tell she doesn't want to be here. You can tell she's fighting with the director. On the other hand, Robert Davi was actually kind of the, like I said about the first film, Sam Raimi accidentally got the first film made. Robert Davi accidentally got Maniac Cop 2 made. He and William Lustig had never met before. He was in a James Bond movie that had just come out before this. William Lustig was talking to international investors, and Robert Davi's huge in Europe. So they said, not what's your movie about? They said, who's in your movie? And he looked at that poster and just went, we got Robert Davi. Then he got the money based on that, and then kind of like, I really got to cast Robert Davi now. I got to go talk to him. I think Robert Davi had a very keen bargaining position when it came to salary. I think Maniac Cop 2 is the strongest film in the franchise. It's the most well-directed. I love the use of lighting. It's the most action, most action-packed of all of them.
I agree totally. Maniac Cop 2 is definitely the best of the franchise. The action is great. The story is great. Like I said before, they expanded his character so much more in this. And
he gets a friend!
He does get a friend.
Who's a serial killer, but he's got a friend.
But he's got a friend. They went the supernatural route, you know, like, and they brought him back from the dead. And
the third film will do that even farther.
But and his makeup, I thought, looked really awesome. Just how he was all kind of burned and cut up, and
the makeup, that's actually William Lustig's only complaint about the first film. They did not like how the makeup looked on him. They really said, yeah, we've really got to do a cool makeup for part two.
And they only showed it, God, what, at the very, very end almost?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But William Lustig was not happy with that. He's very happy with how the makeup turned out for the second one. Mm-hmm. Robert Zadar, not so much, because it was a three-hour job, and since you see his face much more, he was getting just irritated with how long he had to spend in that makeup.
Well, they probably spent, they spent like an hour on his forehead and then like 2 hours on his chin.
Well, and because of the makeup, Robert Zadar couldn't chew, so he could only have liquids for lunch and dinner. So everything he had for weeks was liquid, and he was really getting frustrated because he couldn't, because if he moved his mouth too much, the makeup would tear.
I'm surprised they didn't make a mask at that point. But still, the end product was worth it because the makeup did look great. I just liked how it felt fuller. It definitely, how was the budget comparatively? Did they have more money? Because it felt like they had more money.
They had $4 million for this one, where they had only a little over $1 million for the first film.
Oh, definitely.
Because this one had international investors. The first film was made locally, America. And this one was also mostly shot in L.A. as well. Only, I think they said, 6 days of shooting in New York for Maniac Cop 2. The rest of it's Los Angeles, doubling New York.
Yeah, 2 is just a great movie. I mean, I guess you would appreciate it more if you saw 1 and then 2, but still, if you watch them out of order, I don't think it doesn't devalue it at all.
It doesn't, which is one of the things William Lustig went for, because I'll get to this in a minute. At the time, they made this as a big theatrical release for New Line Cinema. This was going to be, New Line was trying to accompany Matt Cordell along with Freddy as the new horror icon. And so this was supposed to be theatrical, so it was supposed to be bigger, which meant you had to account for people who did not see the first film. That's why the first 5 minutes of this film are the last 5 minutes of the last film, and you see Cordell's flashback of being cut up again, so you can watch this film for the first time and still be able to follow the story. Intentional, Cecil.
Excellent. It was a great thing to do. Two things. The one, like you said, them killing Bruce Campbell off in this one, it was kind of like how Executive Decision was, where it was marketed as a Seagal movie, and then Seagal dies, I think, 20 minutes into the film. So it's it's a very risky maneuver, because you get a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm here to see this, and then your star gets killed. I mean, that's really rough, but in this case, and in that case as well, it totally works. And it just shows they had some balls and they took a risk, and it turned out well. And the other thing I forgot to mention it with the first movie. I love the way he swings the nightstick. That's just when he's walking through the streets, and it's just that whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Like, I could not get enough of that, and I was so glad they brought that back.
Oh, that's so cool. I also want to point out, I forgot about this in the first film, since you just brought that up. You reminded me of it. Remember the first victim he kills in the first film at the beginning of the movie? The girl in the pink that's running from the rapists?
Yeah, yeah.
That is Larry Cohen's daughter. He has killed her in every film he's ever made since her birth. He said after this one, she kind of went, Dad, do we have an issue? You cast me in every one of your movies and you kill me. The old blind newspaper vendor in Maniac Cop 2? Mm. That's James Earl Jones' dad.
Wow. Who was in Sleepaway Camp?
We'll get to that. Shut up.
I'm just tying it together.
Maniac Cop 2 is fantastic. I don't know if technically I think I would say it's my favorite of the series, but I think I would say that I like 1 and 2 equally. I think 1 probably has my to me it has the better actors of the two. Like I love Tom Atkins and Bruce Campbell, but the stars in the second one are still good too. I mean, Leo Rossi is cool. He's great.
Leo Rossi steals this movie almost.
Oh my God, he does. He's like the stripper killing serial killer that Matt Cordell becomes friends with.
Leo Rossi in this, and I see it after William Lustig mentioned it on the commentary. Leo Rossi's appearance and even the way he talks is all patterned after Bela Lugosi in Ghost of Frankenstein. Remember after he was hung as Igor? That's what Leo Rossi's character was patterned after. Now that I've said that, you go, I can see it.
That is fantastic. Robert Davi was cool. He made a good, like, sort of gritty cop. And I like him. He's always cool in whatever he's in as far as the way I feel about it. Even if I do prefer, like, I would have liked it if they would have kept Tom Atkins and made him sort of the star of the series. But I guess
he got thrown out a window in the first film.
But I would have liked it if he lived and he didn't get thrown out a window, because I don't know, Tom Atkins to me just makes a better, like, gritty detective cop kind of character. But still, Robert Davi was great. Leo Rossi was just, he completely stole the show as like the sort of Igor of the duo, or you know, you had
it
Matt
must
Cordell.
Be visiting hours because my friend is back.
That was awesome. And I also noticed Leo Rossi is also in the first movie as a completely different character. And I just noticed this when I watched all three over the weekend. He's like, he's the assistant to the mayor or something. Like, did you guys notice this?
Because William Lustig actually cast him after having worked with him on the first film and on Relentless. So he knew the way he put it is they had a cinematic shorthand. That he knew what Lustig was looking for, and it was kind of the exact opposite experience Lustig had with Claudia Christian.
And thematically, too, is great because it does, as Cecil said, it delves a lot further into Matt Cordell's character in that it continues his mission, so to speak. Like how in the first one he goes after the corrupt mayor, in the second one he makes his way into the prison that he was killed in to kill the people, the prisoners that effectively chopped the shit out of his face and left him for dead. Or I guess he was dead. I'm sort of on the fence as to whether Matt Cordell is a zombie or what. I guess he is.
At this point in part two, he's a zombie because he spent 3 months at the bottom of the East River. He's a zombie in this one. In the first film, it was kind of vague.
Yeah, it was. Like, he still had, like bullets couldn't kill him. Like, the guy could take, like, 20 shots and not go down.
But he also had to sleep, and he dreamt. Zombies don't normally need to sleep.
Exactly. But great how, and it's what, like, the third one, and it's sort of the reason, I mean, we'll get into why the third one to me is the weakest, but I really feel like it should have ended with the second one. Because he really went full circle. He went from the first one where he took out the mayor at the end. And then in the second one, he takes out the guys who sliced him up in jail. So it really feels like the character made like a perfect arc. You really got to know the character of Matt Cordell. And it just ended on such a great note. And there's so much awesome action. Like the police shootout in Maniac Cop 2 is one of the best action sequences, not just in like a horror movie, but like as an action movie, like on action movie merits, even on that account, it's great. And the, you know, the police station raid at the end is just in general is awesome, where he's, you know, on fire and just taking out all the prisoners that way. Like, it's just Maniac Cop 2 is just an awesome movie altogether.
I think Maniac Cop 2 is a nice, moody film. He uses lighting very, very well.
Yes, yes, definitely.
The story works quite well. Unfortunately, the movie didn't have a chance to flop at the box office. They were going to get ready to ink a deal with New Line Cinema to release it nationwide, because like I said, New Line wanted this franchise to help bolster alongside Freddy. And at this point, they had Leatherface as well, so they were trying to be the new horror house. Mm-hmm. And then IVE, which later became Live Entertainment, made a better offer. So the producers and the financers, against Lustig's wishes, went with IVE, who released it direct to video.
Oh, man.
So Maniac Cop 2 never got a theatrical release, but it was made to have one. It just kind of... It was a huge hit on video. So they're like, it still made its grounds, but I think that might be why more people are unfamiliar with this as a franchise, as the first film was the only theatrical one. What do you think about this going direct to video? Do you think that helped or hurt? If New Line had released this nationwide, it would have had more of an impact than IVE just releasing it on video?
I think so. I think... it was at the time when this kind of movie would have probably made a killing in the theater. No movie has ever really been hurt by going, you know, direct, you know, going into the theater, with the exception of if they release it with like no fanfare at all. They just kind of dump it into theaters. But if they gave it a decent marketing budget and would have put it out there, riding off of the success of the first one, I think it would have done very well. It's a shame that it didn't, and it went direct to video, because that was, especially considering that it cost so much more than the first one, it may have made two a bigger hit, and then they might have been able to put more money into three, and it wouldn't, you know, would have not ended at three.
But the downside of that is New Line would have owned it at that point. And we've all seen what New Line does when they run franchises into the ground. We may have gotten a far worse Maniac Cop 3 if New Line had gotten this instead of IVE.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
I think it would have made Maniac Cop 2 a lot more well-known, for sure. It would have gotten its proper theatrical release, which it really deserved to get, because it's a hell of a lot more technically quality, like technical, on every technical standpoint, it looks a lot better. The lighting is so much cooler and more atmospheric, and the action is just so great. So it really deserved to shine in the movie theater alongside with part one. But I think IVE getting it was probably a better move in terms of it ending on a good note. Like, even if the third one, even if I'm not the biggest fan of that one, it was still a good movie, and I think the series still ended on a good-ish note, whereas if New Line ended up getting it, we probably would have gotten, you know, we would have gotten the good two, probably might have gotten a decent three, and then it just would have, as you said, with how New Line tends to run horror franchises into the ground, eventually we would have just gotten fucking sick of Maniac Cop, because, you know, by the time the eighth one rolled around, it would just be some horrible thing like Jason Goes to Hell, or, I mean, I don't even mind that movie so much, or like A New Nightmare, or just a lot of the sequels that a lot of fans tend to hate. Like, Matt Cordell may have turned into something that completely deviated from his original character. I think it's probably a good thing that IVE got it, and we got like three solid Maniac Cop films rather than something that would have eventually devolved into something shitty.
Speaking of devolving into something shitty, now, I don't agree with this. William Lustig and Larry Cohen have completely washed their hands of Maniac Cop 3. In fact, William Lustig made them take his name off of it, and I don't know if the video versions do, or the, like the DVDs and Blu-rays, but the VHS release is an Alan Smithy film. So he hates it that much.
When the violent...
This filthy creep's gonna make us rich.
Can't be controlled. When the guilty can't be caught. When the lawless can't be stopped. The only hope left.
You saw a symbol in the dirt.
You see a symbol of anti-justice.
Is a cop.
I survey.
Who's ready to raise a little hell.
Need your very special kind of darkness.
From the darkest powers of creation.
Want to know about resurrection?
Comes a force more powerful than life. More lasting than death.
Nurse!
He has returned.
Who's in there?
As judge, jury, and executioner.
Oh my God.
I know what I saw.
To enforce the law.
Where is he? You'll find him.
With a vengeance. But now. The only way.
What's this?
To end the massacre is to destroy.
Two tortured souls.
The madness.
Finish it.
Badge of silence. The Maniac Cop is back.
He and Larry Cohen wanted to do something quite different than what Maniac Cop 3 ended up as. In all honesty, I think they're too close, but William Lustig says it's like having to visit your aborted baby on its birthday every year. Every time someone brings him a Maniac Cop 3 poster or a video or something to sign at a con, it's like looking at my ultimate failure and people asking me to watch it again. So he really hates it. Now, to be fair, I think he and Larry Cohen are too close to it, because the cast, like Maniac Cop 3. The producer likes Maniac Cop 3. The fans like Maniac Cop 3. Really, the only people who hate this movie are Larry Cohen and William Lustig.
Mm.
They have reason to, but I think they're being a little picky about it. That's just me. What happened with this one is a little bit more of how Hollywood works and a lot of egos butting heads. First of all, Claudia Christian was not coming back after how she did not get along with William Lustig. Her character doesn't even get a mention. It's like, okay, she doesn't exist any longer. Larry Cohen and William Lustig didn't really want to do this. The producers and IVE convinced them, we'll give you this amount of money, do this blah, blah, blah. So they came up with the story, which was not with starring Robert Davi. Nothing against Robert Davi's character. They wanted this time a black main character. But because this is being financed from Japan and Europe, this is 1993, they said, we can't sell a movie with a black main character for a franchise like this. So right there, Larry Cohen and William Lustig were already turned off of the project. So that's how Robert Davi came back to it. The big thing was, and I think they're at fault, Larry Cohen, he wrote the other two. He was supposed to write this one. He was making other movies and he just kept dicking around, dicking around, dicking around, dicking around. The producer eventually called him on his cell phone while Larry was driving and said, Larry, I need a script. Larry said, okay, get a pen and paper. Interior, day. And he started dictating a script he was ad-libbing off the top of his head while driving along the California coast. The producer said, no, this is not how we work. So basically, Larry Cohen was fired. William Lustig was already under contract, so he had to come. So the producer wrote the script, and he made it much more exploitative. And William Lustig eventually walked off after a couple of weeks of shooting where he just couldn't do it anymore. So the main producer took over and finished directing the film. You can kind of tell what is Lustig and what is not. I liked Maniac Cop 3. It might have been a disaster behind the scenes. I enjoyed the hell out of the movie.
3, I enjoy, but definitely it is a step off in quality from 1 and 2. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just the weakest of the three. But I mean, I knew a lot of the production issues. I know they had some budget cuts and restraints and all kinds of nonsense that got in there. It does feel like, you know, you're watching it and about halfway through, everything gets really chintzy. And so you can kind of tell, like, normally I know, you know, movies are never filmed in order, but this one there, it feels like around the halfway point, all right, they either just took a major cut in budget or something's going wrong because everything just doesn't look good all of a sudden. And it just kind of peter out. It's still cool. And like you said, I mean, it definitely had New Line have taken over. Who knows what we would have gotten. But there is the possibility, you know, we might have gotten like a Jason versus Freddy versus Matt Cordell or something. And
oh, man, that would have been awesome.
We talked a little bit about Matt Cordell being supernatural, definitely, in the second one. In this one, he's brought back straight up by voodoo. Mm-hmm. So
oh, yeah, he's
straight up supernatural in this one.
Now, it's been a while since I've seen it, because I'm going off of memory here. Doesn't he, when he brings him back, doesn't he drive like a dagger into his head? Or am I thinking of something?
No, he drives a dagger into a sacrificial victim's head. It's part of the ritual.
He drives the dagger in, and then Matt's eyes open up, right?
Right.
Because this
film, because William Lustig said the second film was supposed to be a modern-day take on Frankenstein. Which even goes to the Leo Rossi playing the Bela Lugosi character in Ghost of Frankenstein angle even more. This was supposed to be Bride of Frankenstein, which does make more sense when you think that Lorraine Landon was supposed to be the comatose police officer in this one. That even goes closer to that angle. This one, I think when the producer took over directing, the whole Bride of Frankenstein angle kind of took over and became less subtle than it was at first.
Oh, it's a mess. It's visibly a mess, but I still enjoy it. It's got a great early Jackie Earl Haley performance in that one, and
you also have Robert Forster in that.
Yeah.
When will Quentin Tarantino resurrect my career mode?
he had a nice brief moment in the film, and also the principal from Breakfast Club is in it. He plays like. I think Jackie Earl Haley's lawyer in the movie or something.
Jackie Earl is nice and over the top in this too, as the
He's got a great like Charles Manson vibe to him in this one. It's awesome.
Actually, he hit me as a John Deal from Miami Vice almost.
But yeah, like I liked certain aspects of 3 a lot and feel like if it was just a bit tighter, it would have been great because it still looked good. I mean, it's still I didn't feel like it looked cheap or anything. I still thought it looked fairly to the same tier as Maniac Cop 2. It's just something was off about 3. And
what other movie is going to have a high speed chase the wrong direction on an LA freeway with a police officer, a police car missing a door with its driver on fire trying to stop an ambulance with no tires?
That was fantastic. I'll give it that. And here are some of the problems I had with Maniac Cop 3. I didn't really follow a lot of what was going on, like the whole thing where like the voodoo dude that brings Matt Cordell back to life. There's like a weird secret tunnel from the hospital that leads to that dude's church. And then the movie ends like 4 times. Like I like the ending where you have Matt Cordell trying to get the finish it part where he's getting the girl to be resurrected and that doesn't work out, and then the church burns down and you've got a very Frankenstein-esque set piece with Matt Cordell holding the corpse of the police officer that he wanted to resurrect.
And then they both get immolated.
Yeah, and then they blow up and you figure that's a pretty good way to end the movie, and then Matt Cordell comes back in a hearse or whatever chasing after the that's blows up. And then of course you have another scene on top of that at the morgue where Matt Cordell and the cop chick are completely burned up, and then they hold hands, and then it finally fucking ends. Like, you're expecting there to be another ending on top of that ending at the end of the credits. Like, it does feel like a mess. You can see a lot of random B-roll footage from Maniac Cop 2, like the where he's spinning. It shows a shot of him walking in New York City and he's doing the stick spin thing. It's from Maniac Cop 2. There's a shot of him shooting police officers on a stairwell. That's clearly from the shootout from Maniac Cop 2.
They actually use the entire Maniac Cop 2 shootout as a flashback. That wasn't so much like cheating footage as it was just a straight up flashback.
No, they did use it for a whole other scene too, though. It's in the hospital. Like, it's a shot where he's going up the stairwell and he shoots like 2 cops and they fall down. Like, they completely reuse a B-roll of that for the hospital stuff.
I didn't notice that one, but fair
enough. I did, and I thought I think it's because I watched them back to back, I guess, just the other night. And but I like aspects of it. I like Jack Earl Haley's character. I like his story is actually not that bad. I wish they had focused a little more on that and maybe not so much on the voodoo stuff. But it's kind of like his is where he gets into like a shootout at a pharmacy or like a corner store or something. And the chick that Matt Cordell wants to resurrect and turn into his bride is almost like a female version of Matt Cordell. Like, she's a hero cop and she's very shoot first, ask questions later.
Makes more sense if it's Laureen Landon's character from the first 2 films.
Yeah, it does. Whereas they made it this just a completely different random character in this case. But it still worked. And then you have the whole corrupt law system that's going to give Jackie Earl Haley's character like a huge settlement while, you know, this cop, this obvious hero cop is dying. And the footage that the news journalist dude shot, they doctored it so it looked more like she was, you know, being a very corrupt gung-ho cop. So I liked that. I really liked that aspect of Maniac Cop 3, and it's probably it's what makes me like it, I would say, whereas everything else felt quite thrown together, and it just feel like it would never end. Like, by the time it got to the point where it's like, okay, well, now Matt Cordell's missing an arm and now the thing's going to blow up and now he's, you know, coming back to life in the hospital too. And it's like, just when will it fucking end? Like, I don't hate the movie, and I think that maybe William Lustig feels a little too strongly about it because he did walk off set, so he was kind of asking for the movie to turn out the way it did. But I don't hate it. I definitely think it's the weakest, but to me, 1 and 2 will always be the best when it comes to that series.
Well, I can tell you exactly why the multiple endings are there, and that is due to runtime. when William Lustig walked off the set, he spent the entire budget, and his rough cut was only 50 minutes long. And they had to get to an hour 25 as per their contract with the investors. So yeah, they had to beg the investors for some more money to keep adding scenes to get to the hour 25. So William Lustig wasted all the money and didn't even have an hour of usable footage, which kind of says even if he hadn't have walked off, you know, the movie would have needed to be padded out anyway.
Which is why there's random B-roll footage from Maniac Cop 2, which is why there's like three, like pretty much it's like they're showing all the alternate endings of the film or something. Like that's what it feels like. It feels very strung together.
And now I want to say about the edits. The first film, the first Maniac Cop, weirdly enough, in England, the scene where they slash Cordell's face from his mouth to his ear, that was cut. That was the only cut that was required. Mm-hmm. And then in Maniac Cop 2, they had to cut, not major, but some of the police station shootout to get an R rating because there was too many shotgun blasts. Yeah. And then in Maniac Cop 3, they show the entire uncut police station shootout, and that still makes an R rating. Tells you just how much the MPAA changes their tune as they're moving along. So this was the end of the franchise. There will not be another one. There are talks. William Lustig has admitted there are talks in a Maniac Cop reboot. It will not have Robert Zadar or anyone in it, but there are talks to reboot the franchise and do a remake. But Robert Zadar said all of the films he's made in his entire career, the one he gets asked about the most is, when will we get Maniac Cop 4? Do you think that the Maniac Cop franchise ended where it should have? Or like we were talking about with New Line, do you think this should have gone on to 5, 6, 7, 8 films, regardless of what their quality is? Or is this franchise better off ending at 3?
I would have liked for there to have been more. And the thing is, it's an unfortunate. I mean, you'll never know. Because even though New Line had Nightmare on Elm Street and some of the later ones were bad, there still were good ones in there. So we were kind of denied that, you know, it ended at 3. Now, thankfully, it's 3 good movies. Well, it's 2 great movies. And
2.5 good movies.
Okay, 2.5 good movies. But it's more. 2 great movies and 1 good, you know, good movie. It's a shame that it did end there because it had potential to keep going. It's just that it did kind of fall apart with Cohen getting thrown off and with the director walking off. And it just it's a shame it fell apart from within. But I would have liked for them to, you know, get another director in there, maybe get another writer and kind of continue it. It really didn't need to end. Because there, with whenever you bring this supernatural aspect into it, then it's like, all right, all bets are off. You know, you can
keep this
going.
How many times has Jason come back?
A lot, and so that's kind of the thing. It's like when you have that supernatural aspect, you can always figure out a way. They shot Jason with a rocket launcher and figured out a way to bring him back.
Now, yeah, granted, it was stupid, but they did.
It was definitely for me that was the worst of that franchise. Really could have done anything and just continued to make them. And I'm at the point now where I'm so just kind of burned out with all these reboots and remakes and everything. You know, if maybe 15 years ago they would have said, hey, we're going to reboot Maniac Cop, I probably would have been all for it. They're just doing everything, and if they do, I'm sure it'll just be like how the RoboCop one was. It's just, it was slick and it was soulless.
We're better off with 3 movies, I would say. I'd like it if it was, you know, William Lustig and Robert Zadar coming back. That would be, you know, if they came back and just made like a proper ending to the series. Like, I know you don't like the latest Rambo movie, but I thought that was a nice way to finish the series after 3 was kind of a miserable failure.
Whoa. You know that series, you know they're making a 5th one, right, where he fights werewolves?
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me.
So they haven't finished the Rambo series.
I'm trying to pretend like that doesn't exist because I really felt like the 4th one ended perfectly. But I do feel like if they were to make another one, it would have to be Lustig. It would have to be Robert Zadar. It would have to be Lustig going, okay, well, I didn't like the 3rd movie. The 3rd one feels like an aborted child, so I'm going to make what I felt like the series should have ended on. Like, if it would be that, I'd be all for it. I think that'd be pretty cool. But if it's just going to be like an empty, soulless remake, which it likely would, like the RoboCop remake was, which just was one of the worst films I saw of that year. Like, I had to watch the original at least 3 or 4 times just to get that rotten taste out of my mouth. I would prefer it if it's just going to stay at three. If William Lustig and some of the original, if Robert Davi and Zadar and Lustig helmed a reboot or just did a fourth film, I would dig that. But other than that, keep it at three. It's a nice little franchise. It's got 2 great movies, 1 okay movie that was thrown together and still ended up being pretty decent. I like that. I like that it's a series that didn't really go down a road and turn shitty. I mean, yeah, you could keep this character going. These characters have been, like, the slashers have been brought back in ridiculous ways. As Cecil said, Jason got hit with a rocket launcher and still came back as, like, as a body hopper. Freddy has been brought back due to, like, evil dog piss. So there's any way to bring back any of these supernatural characters. But let's keep Maniac Cop at the nice trilogy that it's at. I would rather it stay there.
I like this franchise as it is. And again, I probably like the third film more than most people do. I love the soundtrack. I think it gets so ridiculous that it's fun. I think this is one of the lesser known franchises. I hesitated for a moment because I almost said slasher franchises, but it's not a slasher movie franchise, at least not in a traditional manner. Mm-hmm. So it's more of just like an action movie exploitation franchise. I really do think people need to see it. Honestly, I'm surprised, even with Bruce Campbell starring in the first one and being in the second one, that these films are not more well-known than they are. Outside of the horror fandom, your mainstream audience doesn't know about the Maniac Cop movies. And unfortunately, they probably would welcome a remake because that would be the first one that they would see. I think Matt Cordell should be allowed to have his bride in his grave, and I think you need to leave him there. Cecil, since you have waived your right to remain silent forever, where could people find you?
Find me waving my right all over the place with evil dog piss at goodbadflix.com, as well as geekjuicemedia.com.
And then, Peter, you always flaunt around your rights. Where would people find you?
Well, you're going to have to face this Maniac Cop alone on Twitter at Zinematica, Facebook, The Cinemasochist, YouTube, The Cinemasochist, and pretty soon on 1201beyond.com with some sexy t-shirts.
I don't know if sexy is the right word, but
interesting. Oh, they're very sexy. They're totally sexy. They're very sexy.
Well, sexy when this motherfucker wears them.
Speaking of 1201beyond.com, that's where you can go to find this show as well as many others. You can buy t-shirts there. Peter's stuff's not there yet. We're working on it. There's some stuff happening behind the scenes. You can buy a Radiodrome t-shirt there, and you can contact...
I'm designing a shirt.
But you haven't yet. Until you do, you shut up.
It's in the works. I've sent him some concept stuff.
Yes, I'm I like them. I'm trying to figure things out. It's very busy around these parts.
You can contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night.
Yo, wait a minute. What's that?
Something sneaking around the corner.
Here we go.
It's the Maniac!
Sound, it means that the Maniac Cop's around. Once upon a time, he was a super cop, but the bad guy strangled to make him stop. They put him in prison where they tried to kill him, but he broke out, now he's the villain. Bullets won't hurt him, I know it sounds like Jai, but we're not sure if he's dead or alive.
Set him on fire, I shoot him with an Uzi, but he'll show up in your jacuzzi. You can run him over, you can feed him poison, push him out a window and it only annoys him. You better believe me if they think I'm lying. When he show up, people start dying. He's out for vengeance and he can't be stopped. That's why they call him the Maniac Cop.
You have the right to remain silent.
A cop on the beat, but don't be thinking about police protection, cause this is one cop with a bad connection. When he shows up, he's supposed to protect ya.
go round. If you see him coming, just pick up your feet and commence to running. And don't waste time, dialing 911. Forget karate and forget your gun. Don't play hero, don't try to be brave. This dude's gonna tell you to an early grave. He's out for vengeance and he can't be stopped. That's why they call him the Maniac Cop.
You have the right to a mortician. If you cannot afford one,
the law is cruel, injustice is blind, but this cop's justice is one of a kind. He's homicidal and maladjusted, but when he busts in, your ass is busted. You won't get a ticket or pay your fine. Your mind is what we dealing with Frankenstein. He's big and ugly with a busted jaw. You know he's the wrong arm of the law. You better stay away from this man in blue. And don't call a cop, cause he'll snuff him too. They killed him once, but he came back. He's the mama maniac. So when you're out on the streets and you hear that sound, it probably means that Cordell's around. He's out for vengeance and he can't be stopped. That's why they call him the Maniac.
The Maniac Cop.
Rock,
rock, rock.
What are you gonna do, Jones? What's that?
I don't know, but I'm ready to kill.
No way, Josh, go back.
Ah! Oh, man, I admit that, man. It's great.
Let's get out of here, come on.
Radio Drone is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.